So today I want to talk about fear. But not just any kind of fear. I want to talk about holy fear. Holy fear. I talk about it all the time. I believe we should fear God. I've always believed that. God is awesome. He is powerful. He is all-knowing. He's magnificent. And we should not only fear Him, but love Him. But we should have a holy fear. We're going to talk about that today. How you have a holy fear. And how is that any different than any other kind of fear that we have out there? And the difference is huge. A holy fear is not a, like, shaking in your boots, trembling kind of fear. It's not a worried about tomorrow kind of fear. It's a confident fear. A confident fear that we know who holds tomorrow. I that verse about that it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But then we know it also says in another passage that not a hair on our head will be displaced without God knowing it. Not a sparrow will fall from the sky without God controlling it. So we know that we are not only in the hands of the most powerful entity ever, but that a hair on our head will be harmed. I take great, great confidence in that. It's like having the best friend when I was growing up, the toughest guy who's my best friend. If anybody messed with me, they gotta mess with my best. Get been there, done that? It doesn't always turn out well there because we're dealing with humans there. But a holy fear. So let's get into it. Because Hebrews is trying to show us holiness. And I can't express it enough that we already know this, right? We already know that we're holy. We already know that we're a new creation. We already know all this, right? But it's amazing because as I have this conversation, I've been having it a lot lately, as we delve into it just a little bit deeper, much less going really deep into it, people have this aha that they've been struggling with this without even knowing it, or they've been struggling with this with knowing it. The number one thing I see with devout Christians is they want to beat themselves up by not because they just can't make the grade enough. They can't be holy enough. They sin. They fall short. They do this. They do that. I just want to give them a stick that they can beat themselves over the head with the stick because it's you know, I can't be holy enough. You're already there. It's already perfect. Can you imagine having the perfect marriage?
No.
Can you imagine having the perfect relationship with your child?
No.
Can you imagine anything in this world perfect?
Other than Jesus?
Other than Jesus? But Mike hit the nail on the head. Because Jesus is perfect. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is perfect. Can I get an amen? And God is perfect. Can I get an amen? And God lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Jesus lives in us. So what does that make us?
Perfect.
Perfect. You said.
Sanctified.
It's not just a journey. It's not just a destination. It's a reality. You're already there. This is so huge. We're already there. We just have to live in it. To have a holy fear. What does that mean? I mean, we know what fear is, right? we get the diagnosis and we have to now, we can picture it, man, the chemo or the operations or setting my leg because it's broken. We hear, you ever go and talk to somebody? You ever have something happen to you and like you know, I had kidney stones once and I made the mistake of talking to somebody and they decided that, oh, they're going to have to tell me their story. And they're going to have to tell me their horror story. So by the time they got done with me, I was shaking in my boots. I mean, because but we've all heard all the horror story. And we have that fear that comes into us. Or maybe it's that we're not making ends meet and we don't know how we're going to have the money for the rent next week. And that fear comes in. Or maybe it's like, I talk to so many people because they come out of alcoholic families and they think they're going to be found out. This is the day. This time, they're going to find out that I'm not quite as capable as I appear. This is when I'm going to be found. And it's just this unreasonable fear. And there you go, that word, unreasonable. So when we have a holy fear, though, I said we can be confident. Now, that's the exact opposite of the kind of fear that we just got to talking about. Because when we have a holy fear, we have a holy fear in the God that we are confident in. And I'm going to tell you, I'm really believing, and we're going to get to the end at the beginning here, I'm just going to have to go there, that this holy fear will lead us to holiness. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
That we have to not only know God, it says there's these parameters last time we talked, that you need to know that God exists, right, and you have to seek Him. But I'm going to add one more thing that Hebrews is now adding to it, that we also need to fear Him. We need to respect Him. We need to listen to Him. We need to obey Him. Can I get an amen? This is all a holy fear, because we know that He is all powerful. But He is also all loving, but He's also this wrathful God. We talked about it. We talked about what the wrath is against the sin, not against us. But that sin is hard to distinguish because we do the sin thing, right? And so the wrath is still coming kind of on us, right? And so we should be afraid of that. We don't take any of this lightly. Let's get into Hebrews. Chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, we're going to talk a little bit about Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Faith. This entire chapter, chapter 11, is all about faith. What is faith? How do we display it? How do we know it? Well, first of all, we can look at what people have done before us. And we can look at Noah. It said that Noah had a holy fear, and then he built this ark because he could see what was not yet seen.
See the flood.
Do you know how long it took Noah to build the ark? I just found this out.
120 years.
120 years. The estimates are anywhere from 55 to 120. Can you imagine? Wait a minute. God tells you, and mind you, you're on dry land, and there's no water anywhere nearby. You can't even see water. The nearest water is like 50 miles away or more. And you're on this dry land, and God tells you to build this giant boat. Because the flood's coming. And everybody thought it was foolish, but wait a minute. I'm good for the first week, and I'm building my ark. I'm good for the first month, and I'm building my ark. It's been a year. Not a drop of rain. And I'm building my ark. I mean, we went and saw a replica of that thing. That thing is huge.
Yes,
and there's exact dimensions that God gave of how to build this thing. And they have rebuilt it, that these dimensions work. They did it here in the United States, and they did it also, I think it was in Norway, they have another copy of this thing. And this thing is huge. I mean, and so it's not going to be built overnight. So it took him anywhere from 55 to 120 years. 10 years has gone by. We're still building there. No water. No body of water anywhere. But you have this holy fear. Because God has told you that the water is coming. And you know it. You believe it. You don't just believe it, you know it. You must know it. If you're going to keep working on this project for that long, have you ever been involved in that project that you get involved in? I figure whenever I get into any project, I'm going to triple the time, and I'll still be short of how long it really is going to take to do this. The trips to the hardware store alone is going to double up the time because I didn't have the right size screw or screwdriver or whatever else, bolt, nut, whatever it is I need. And something's going to break, and then I'm going to have to do something else with it. So he's working on this project, this long-term project, for anywhere from 55 to 120 years. And it says that by faith, when warned by God, about things not yet seen, and what do we say faith is? Faith is believing and is knowing and what we do not see. Evidence of things not seen, as David said. When warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. We'll do anything to save our family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. You know what? That's kind of like every believer on this planet. As you believe, it condemns all the ones that don't, does it not?
Yep.
As he builds his boat and gets ready for the flood, and all the people say, what's wrong with you? They stand in condemnation themselves. They're condemning themselves, right? And God has already set the stage. And so as we take in Jesus, as we have communion, we are saved. But the rest are condemned by their own means. By faith, Abraham, they're always talking about Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. Can you imagine? You don't even know where you're going. You just wander off and you figure, well, you know, I'll land somewhere. And I know people like that. I know people, man, that they'll just go out and they'll figure it out. They don't have a plan. They don't even know a destination and they're just going to figure it out. Well, Abraham, God told him where to go. He didn't give him all the ins and outs and what's going to happen and any of that. He didn't even give him the purpose of exactly what was going on. Like, hey, Abraham, pack it up. Can you imagine if I told you right now I want you to pack up everything and go to another state? Just to another state. No job. No prospects. No house. Nothing. Just pack it up, put it, Beverly Hillbilly style, man, put it on the truck with the rocking chair up there and let it go. Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive, as his inheritance, obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. So what is in common between Abraham and Noah?
Faith. Just confidence.
Confidence.
Commitment.
But both of them listened. They heard what God said, and they obeyed. They did what God said. By faith, Abraham, we're still talking about, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. You know, we often hear about how we are strangers on this planet. I can relate. I told you my story about I wasn't supposed to be here. But, you know, we strive, like it said in that song today, for something better. Don't you always want something better for your kids? Don't you want something better for your friends? Don't you want something better for yourself even? Don't we always want something? Isn't that the American way? We want something better. We're going to get that better job. We're going to get that better house. We're going to have that better relationship with our children. We're going to have, everything's going to get better. But it never does. Or does it? I want to challenge us today. David asked for a reality check in prayer, and I want us to have a reality check here. How good is your life? And could it be better? Now we might get past that first test of how good is my life, and we might be pretty content, and we might have all this stuff going, and we can list all our blessings. But when I say that little part about can it be better, and then we look at the grass on the other side, it's always greener, you know, and that better job, or that better relationship, or that better income, or that better.
The grass is greener on the other side of it, because the neighbor's got a septic tank.
Yeah.
By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Home is where your heart is, isn't it? It's not a building. It's not a house. It's not a structure. Your home is where your heart is. Your home is where you are, right? Your home is where the Lord is. And where is the Lord? He's everywhere. So your home is wherever you're at. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. It wasn't already there. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he is looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So there's this guy named Augustine, and he wrote this book called The City of God. Famous book. It's one of our first church fathers was Augustine. And so he wrote this whole book about what is the city of God and what does it look like. So I challenge you right now, if I tell you about the city of God, and I ask you, what does it look like? I'll give you one clue. You can go to the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation will start showing us the city of God. And as we had communion today, that was another clue of this new covenant, because that new covenant is the city of God. What does the city of God look like? I'm going to tell you right now, I've been thinking about this. I think the city of God is the perfect church. Can you imagine? The perfect church. What would it look like? I think that's where Hebrews is trying to take us here. Hebrews is trying to show us the perfect church, the city of God. What would be the first parameter? If we're going to build this city, it's going to be called the city of God. It's going to be this miraculous place. These people are going to be so loving and caring of each other. You could build this anyway. It's like you're on the internet. You get to build, what's that, Sim City or whatever, okay? Only you're going to get to build the Sim City of City of God here, okay? Only you're going to be able to do it in reality, too. And so what would be the first thing? If we're going to have a city called the City of God, what do you think we need first of all?
Perfect people.
God.
God.
The city of God has to have God in it, right? I mean, without God, it's not the city of God. So let's look at this, and we have God as the pinnacle here. Wow, this sounds strangely like Revelation 21, doesn't it? That there is no light in heaven. That the only light is God himself. And the only lamp is Jesus. Isn't that sounding like the city of God to you? Or the new Jerusalem that's going to come down? And everything's going to be perfect. But I want you to understand something. It's closer than you think. Continuing. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. There's something big going on here. Sarah is like 90 years old. The odds are, there is no odds. There's not even an odds, and there's nobody going to take a bet on this at all, that she's going to be able to have a child. It's physically impossible. It can't happen. She even laughs when God tells her about it because it's like, really? No. But God, because nothing is impossible with God, she has a child. But it says here that she had faith. She had faith. It says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. Now, there's something big going on there. See, like, we don't have to believe because we believe, or like we think it's possible, or it's physical, or it's, you know, the parameters could fall in place, like there's any chance at all of this happening. We only have to believe in the one who said it's able to be done. Right? All we have to do is believe God. And if God said it, it is done. We have a song like that, don't we, Julia, that God said it, and I believe it, and therefore it's done? And that's what we're talking about here. That God said it. Now, back up. God said, Jesus said, you were made a new creation. It is done. God said, Jesus said, that you are sinless. It is done. God said, Jesus said, that you are perfect. It is done. Are we looking for something we already have? Are we looking for a perfect church and we already have it? Are we looking for a perfect life but we already have it? Wouldn't that be an amazing trick of the enemy that he makes you look for stuff you already have? Doesn't that sound like that would be in his book of tricks? So what I'm saying here is let's integrate this here. And this holy fear is our pathway to holiness. We need to know God exists. We need to seek Him. And I'm going to add, we need to fear Him. We need to respect Him. We need to obey Him. If you look at all these people, and we're going to go through a whole laundry list of people. If you look at all these people, we're going to get into that next week of all these others. And they even say, well, we can't even talk about all of them. There's too many. If you look at what's in common of all of them, is they listen and they obey. They listen and they obey because they feared God. And so from this one man, Abraham, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. This is that generational blessing that goes on for generation after generation. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them. Wait a minute. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them. How did they see them? Faith. And welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. We have an eternal destiny. I know two individuals I was talking about in prayer, Michael and Trevor. They have an eternal destiny. A Dawn, as we prayed about, she has an eternal destiny. We all have an eternal destiny. And if we open up our eyes, we can see it. You know, that's why people who are in hospice, man, when they are believers, they're at peace. They're okay.
She says she's fine.
They're not struggling. They're not fighting against it. They know that this is a continuation. They know that God has him or her in his powerful hand. If they had been people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. So we know they were foreigners and strangers on earth, but we're looking for something else. They're not only seeing something, they're looking for it. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing here? Like we're supposed to be looking for God? Isn't this what it said we're supposed to be seeking God?
Yeah.
We need to know He exists. We need to see Him. But we need to also seek Him. We need to look for Him. Wow, look how it all fits. Instead, they were longing for a better... If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. They're looking forward. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. God has prepared a place, not just when we die, but now, for us. So what do we do with all of this? So here's a clue. I haven't worked it all out yet. Holy fear is part of our path of holiness. Matter of fact, it's not part of our path, it's part of holiness. Part of holiness is having a holy fear of God. And we don't have to worry about that word fear. Like I talk to people about this all the time, and they say, well, we shouldn't have to fear God. Well, I beg to differ. We probably should.
Yeah.
I think if the Israelites would have feared Him a little bit more, they maybe would have gotten in line a little bit faster. I think we not only need to fear God, we need to obey God. And we not only need to obey Him, we need to do what He tells us to do. But here's the beauty of it. Even if we don't, we're covered. We're atoned for. We're taken care of. Because of Jesus, and here's the mystery of the ages. Because of Jesus, we are made right, righteous with God. Period. But this holiness, this pathway, I'm very intrigued about this right now. Like, we all talk about it, right? Man, I want to get closer to God. I wish I was closer to God. I'd do anything to get, and the irony of this is the people who I see get really, really, really close to God are the people who get really, really, really sick. Because they got no choice but to look up. And I talked to so many of them. My friend Pastor Mark was just telling me, this has been rough. He wouldn't wish this on his worst enemy. I mean, he doesn't want to do any of this. But the closeness that he has felt with God, and this is a pastor talking, has never been matched. So, it's not only possible to get really, really close to God, it's inevitable. We just have to see Him, we just have to seek Him, and we just have to revere Him.
You got to want Him.
You got to want Him. So what do we do with this? Well, here's my little assignment. I've got a big assignment, a little assignment. The big assignment you already have, which is to do the holiness gauge, the spiritual maturity gauge, because that is the pathway to holiness. And as we spend time with God, as we engage with God, God is already engaging with us. We just simply come to realize it. But I want you to replace fear today with holy fear. And here's how it works. Whatever you're afraid of, whatever is pressing on your mind, whatever has been pressing on your mind for the last decade, wherever you don't feel worthy, wherever you struggle, wherever you're having doubt, any of these places, I want you to replace that fear with holy fear. Now, holy fear is a whole different story. Holy fear means that we know who's in control. Holy fear means that we know that God's all-powerful, all-knowing, and that He loves us unconditionally. Holy fear means that we have confidence to face anything, anywhere, anytime. Fear will make us shrink back, like we talked about shrinking back. But holy fear will make us step forward. Because we know that we are stepping forward not alone, but with God and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to go deeper. Because we're going to go deep into the city of God. And that it is a reality right now. So your assignment is to replace any fear you have. Write it down. Write down what is the fear. Maybe it's the fear of dying. Maybe it's the fear of getting sick. That one gets me. And I want you to replace it with this holy fear. Like Dawn, right now, has this holy fear, but she's not scared. She understands that she's in the hands of God, and whatever happens to this mortal body is pretty immaterial compared to what's going to happen on the next level. And we can have that every minute of every day if we just get that reality check that David was asking for. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that we live in the city of God, that you are our light, and Jesus, you are our source. We ask that we incorporate that today. We ask as we do this maturity gauge that it just gives us tools to come closer to you. We ask that we don't wait until we're sick to find you closer. We ask that we find you closer today. And then, Lord, may we be utilized to show someone else that truth and share that glory with another person struggling in this world of lies and deception. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the perfect church and is wherever you go because God is there. What if all of this is already a reality that we are seeking but we already found? What if it is just a trick of the enemy that he's trying to tell you you're not worthy when you are worthy? What if? And I'm just here to tell you it's not a what if. It's a what is. We just need to come to the realization that we are so much closer than we think. God is here. Heaven is here. Perfect is here. The reason this is so important is because as we come to this realization, then we will see it, then we will live it. Perception is reality. you are closer than you think. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that you are as close as our heartbeat. We thank you that we taste heaven now. We thank you that you are perfect and you live in us. We thank you, dear Holy Spirit, that you are continually helping us realize what's already been done. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have done everything. It is finished. And we love you, Lord. Let us go to live and love and share Jesus in our life. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.